Don't try to accomplish God's will through your own abilities and strength. You will end up waiting a long time, and God will never work through your life until you submit yourself. We are inadequate, but He is fully adequate. Step out in obedience. The Lord is faithful.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, in our last broadcast, you emphasized God's demonstrated historical faithfulness as a compelling reason not to trust in ourselves to accomplish His will. This becomes tempting when we think God's taking too long.
You know, that is so true, but we're going to see there's even another attribute that helps us see how we can keep from trusting our own wisdom, strength, and ability. Would you turn with us in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 7.
Well, be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
How can we not walk in a way where we are wavering and trusting in our own wisdom and understanding? We need to consider Him faithful who promised. And inherent in that is knowing His promises. We need to know His Word. We need to go in His Word. We need to dive into it, that God would instruct us through His Word and we would know Him better. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of Christ. So often when I talk to people who are all over the map concerning their faith, often I find out they're believing their own wisdom and understanding over what God has said. They consider their own musings faithful rather than what God has said. We need to deny those things, to shoot them down in our hearts and minds and believe what God has said. God is a faithful God who does what He says, and it's crucial for us to know this and remind ourselves. So how can we keep from trusting in our own wisdom, strength, and ability? First, we need to understand God is faithful. He will do what He says. Secondly, we need to learn from Abraham's response of obedience when God does fulfill His word. Verse 3, chapter 21. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Here we see what God wants us to see about Abraham's response, that he obeyed the Lord right away. First of all, by naming his son Isaac. Back in chapter 17 of Genesis, Abraham was told after he had left, "You shall name him Isaac." Chapter 17, verse 19. God said, "No, it's not going to be through Ishmael, but you shall name him Isaac." Name him laughter. That's what the name means. And Abraham called the name of his son, whom Sarah bore to him. That was born to him. Sarah bore to him. The emphasis on the miraculous reality of what God had promised. Isaac. Isaac means laughter. And he obeyed. He obeyed the Lord and named him that. But he also obeyed the Lord, notice, 8 days in circumcising him. Verse 4, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. He adds that phrase in there. Abraham is obeying the Lord. He did what God had commanded him. We see that back in Genesis 17, 10 through 14, that God had commanded him to circumcise everyone in his household, his servants, his family, to circumcise them. It was a sign of a covenant that he had made with him, this unconditional covenant, to obviously bring forth the land and the seed. And we see that he circumcised his son as God had commanded him. Abraham's faith was manifest in obedience to the word. You see, our response to really knowing if we're trusting the Lord is obedience, by the way. Are we going to step out in faith and believe what he said? I'll give you an example. When he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Do you believe that that will happen? If you do, then you're going to be not anxious. You're going to be praying instead. You're going to be thanking Him. You're going to recognize and bring your petitions before Him rather than worrying about it, knowing that the faithful God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And there are so many examples, and we are tempted every day, and we do fall. But God is faithful. God is faithful. You know, Obedience is always the evidence of genuine faith. You can look at this at your own time, but in the beginning of the book of Romans and the end of the book of Romans, Paul talks about the gospel in Christ that will bring about the obedience of faith. The old hymn truly sums it up, to trust and obey. It's that simple. Trust the Lord. Believe what He said. You got to know what He said and obey Him by His power and strength. So how can we keep from trusting our own wisdom, strength, and ability? First, we need to understand that God is faithful. He will do what He says in His time. Secondly, we need to respond in obedience. And third, notice, we need to understand that when the Lord demonstrates His power, we need to recognize it's in the context of our inability and our weakness. Verse 5. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Here we have a statement in verse 5 concerning how old Abraham was. Why is that here at this point? Why does Moses, inspired by the Spirit, say Abraham was 100 years old at this point? Obviously, we have it here because he's reminding us of the impossibility from man's perspective to actually bring about what God had done miraculously. Notice this passage completely emphasizes Abraham's age. Let's go back and look at it. Verse 1, then the Lord took note of Sarah as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham, here you go, in his old age. Verse 4, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as the Lord had commanded him. Verse 5, now Abraham was, here you go, 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Then go down to verse 7, and she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son, and here we go, in his old age. This was a miraculous birth. And we see that both Abraham and Sarah understood the impossibility of this to happen at their age. This is confirmed in what we saw in Romans chapter 4. Abraham being dead in relationship to being able to bring forth children. Sarah's womb being dead. They understood it. Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Sarah received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life. So with that in mind, you might be asking the question, why did God take 25 years since He made that initial promise to bring forth and fulfill it? Certainly, it was so Abraham and Sarah could no way attribute anything to that child that man had brought about. There's no way. There's no way. We saw that back in chapter 18 that nothing was impossible with God. We saw, unfortunately, that Abraham and Sarah, they had tried their own ways to bring forth the promises of God. And we do that. We want to raise our kids rightly. We want to do the right thing at work. We want to do what is godly, but then we will step out in our own wisdom and strength and ability rather than trusting the Lord. And the Lord has to bring us to the end of ourselves so that we will not trust in ourselves, but the God who raises the dead. Indeed, we are privy to Abraham and Sarah's lengthy portions of trying to do this by their own will and ways, which God had to exhaust until they believed that God was faithful. Indeed, we saw Abraham's attempt to make Eliezer his slave, his heir. God says no. Indeed, we saw Abraham's and Sarah's pathetic attempt to bring forth an heir through Hagar. And God says no, Ishmael is not the one. And we have Sarah trying to do this with Abraham in that context. We have Abraham trying to push his son Ishmael as the heir, and God says no. So what was God doing in waiting so long? I believe we see in Scripture He was frustrating their attempts to bring forth His plan by their own wisdom and flesh. We know that Ishmael was the child of the flesh, trying to do God's will by our ability and ways. In Galatians chapter 4, we see an illustration that Isaac is the child of promise. Ishmael represents the child of the flesh. Turn to Galatians 4 for a minute. We'll look at this in more depth next week as we see that we are cast out the bondwoman and how that relates to our passage. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to bring you to the end of yourself so you won't trust in yourself. That you'll trust in Him. That you will be like Abraham and Sarah, considering God faithful who promised. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, Paul says, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? He's going to reprove these people who are being influenced by the Judaizers. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bondwoman, that's Hagar, one by the free woman, that's Sarah, obviously. But the son by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. That was Sarah and Abraham's attempt to get an heir. And the son by the free woman through the promise. It was miraculous, an answer to the promise of God that he had made. The point is, we're not to take matters in our own hands by our own flesh. God made them wait years and years until it was physically impossible for them to have a child. God allowed them to go through their naive and unwise and sinful gyrations to try to fulfill God's plan, to show them the emptiness of that. And for us, we can learn from these things that are written for our instruction. And we need to learn. He takes our pathetic attempts to fulfill His word by our own flesh, and He causes them to fail, even when they succeed. He takes our pathetic attempts, and we need to learn this. He brings us to the end of ourselves, the end of our adequacy, that we would see He is totally adequate, 2 Corinthians 3:5. That apart from Him, we can do nothing, John 15:4. That His power is perfected in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12. And it's only at that point that God receives the glory. It's only at that point. You see, we serve a powerful God who will enable us to do what He has said. He's a faithful God, but He will not work in us when we are working in us. Let me share a couple passages. Again, Genesis 18:18, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Ephesians chapter 1, we see the reality that God wants us to understand the surpassing greatness of His power towards those who believe. Ephesians chapter 1, that resurrection power. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Concerning being content in a little or content in a lot, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then this one, let's turn to this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul has seen through heavenly vision, brought up to the third heaven, things that he couldn't speak or utter, words that were unutterable. And God understood that he would be tempted to be prideful, so to keep him from boasting, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan, which he petitioned God three times to remove. And what is God's answer to him? We need to take note of it. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Concerning this, that's that thorn in the flesh, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Brothers and sisters, we need to get this. Because if you're a true believer, the lessons aren't going to stop. We are inadequate. We need to see that in every area of life, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in your work, whether it's with your family, whether it's in your marriage, whether it's at school, whatever it is, we are truly inadequate. And it is only until we recognize that and by faith trust the Lord in everything, the Lord wants to get us to the end of ourselves. And this is something I experience on a continual basis, so I'm sure you do too, because there's no temptation that has come upon us except that's what's common for man. I recognize I'm completely inadequate to bring you the Word of God. That I'm not adequate to consider anything as coming from myself, but my adequacy is from God. Yet this inadequacy doesn't paralyze me because I trust and obey the Lord and prepare and then come before you and trust Him to bring forth what He desires. Relying on Him, completely knowing that if I don't trust Him, I will fail. There's no way to do it apart from completely relying on Christ It's the same thing for every area of the Christian life. Learn from this passage rather than years of failures. These things were written for our instruction. Is there any area where you are relying on your own strength, your own wisdom, your own ways? You're not believing the truth of God. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We need to trust the Lord. It's interesting, so often people will come to me and say, I really feel the Lord is leading me into ministry or whatever it might be. And yet they'll come to me with the same attitude of, well, I don't want to be working here. I want to be doing this instead. And I think you've got to see everything through what God says. Do you work hardly under the Lord? Trust Him and He will move you into where He wants you to be in His time and His way. He's faithful. It's a good desire, but trust Him. And it goes with every area of life. Family, marriage, work, church. Don't try to accomplish God's will through your own abilities and strength. You will end up waiting a long time, and God will never work through your life until you submit yourself. We are inadequate, but He is fully adequate. Step out in obedience. The Lord is faithful. So how can we keep from trusting in our own wisdom and strength? First of all, we need to understand the Lord is faithful. And then we need to understand that the Lord uses His power. He will use our inability and work through those circumstances to demonstrate His power. And we need to respond in obedience. And lastly, notice we need to respond with joy. Verses 6 to 7. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me, for everyone who hears will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah's initial laughter was in unbelief back in chapter 18, right? Here, this is not in unbelief because the scripture says she believed he who promised was faithful. This is not a laughter of unbelief. This is a laughter of joy. Who would have said this? God has made laughter for me, and everyone who hears will not laugh at me, but will laugh with me. They will be joyous with me. God has taken that mocking laughter of Isaac into a laughter of joy. Those who hear what God has done miraculously, they're going to laugh with her. They're going to rejoice. And notice what else she says, verse 7. Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? He's really done a work on Sarah's physical reality miraculously, hasn't he? She has conceived and bore a son, and now she's going to nurse children. Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. Sarah gives God the credit. She joyously gives God the credit for doing the impossible. We see that in Hebrews 11. And brothers and sisters, when you've truly trusted the Lord, and He has manifested His power through your inadequacy, then you will rejoice. You will praise Him, and He will get all the glory. Because you know you didn't do it. You know God did it. And that brings great joy. And by the way, joy is not happiness in circumstance, but it is joy in the Lord. It is a fruit of walking with the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, love, joy. It's a fruit of walking with Christ. And when you're walking with Christ, you're inadequate, and He's adequate, and He's doing things in your life through His power and strength, not yours, and it brings joy. And it brings joy. And that joy is ultimately focused on Christ. Philippians 3, we are to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If Christ is working in you, you're going to be joyful, no matter how horrible things are. By the way, you can be broken in horrible trial, but yet there's joy in the midst of that. Christians are the only ones that can experience that. The kingdom of God, as Paul would say in Romans 14:17, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you don't have joy in your life, you're not walking with Christ. It's just that simple. No matter how bad your life is, if you're not experiencing joy, you're not walking with Christ. Yes, there are troubles and trials, and we are grieved over things, but there's joy. There's joy in the Lord. There's joy in the Lord. Sarah's finally trusting the Lord, and she's rejoicing. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Trust the Lord, and you will be rejoicing. Today we've seen so clearly that God is faithful. He is faithful to His Word. And He accomplished in Abraham and Sarah what He had promised, miraculously bringing forth the Son. And we've seen the demonstration of His power in the context of Abraham and Sarah's previous failures to bring about and accomplish this by the flesh. And we saw the responses of obedience and joy. So how can we keep from trusting our own wisdom, strength, and ability? First, we need to understand God is faithful. He'll do what He says. We've got to be in God's Word. We've got to know it. We've got to have it in our hearts. He is faithful. He will do what He says. It's not simply a verse in the card that I believe. I believe in Him is faithful to His Word. Secondly, we need to know that God demonstrates His power when we recognize our inadequacy and trust Him. And then we need to obey in response and rejoice, as we will see. Brother and sister, the Lord wants you to rely on Him in everything because He's faithful. Are there any areas you've stepped out in your own strength? You're trusting your own wisdom and strength. You're not in a moment by moment. Just trust in the Lord. Lord God, I know I can't do this, but I trust You to do it through me. I'm stepping out in faith. I know You're faithful. You will help me raise my children in a way that is what You desire. I know You're faithful. You'll help me respond rightly to my spouse. I know You're faithful. You'll help me do my work heartily unto You. I trust You, Lord God. You're faithful. You will bring forth the Word in the context of study, Lord God. You are faithful. You can't think that way unless you've recognized your inadequacy. Some of you today need to recognize that you've never, ever trusted the Lord truly. You've trusted your own wisdom and strength. You've never really come to a full, complete dependence on Christ. And if that's the case, you don't know the Lord personally. And God is a gracious God. You see, the seed that would come through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would be the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised one who would go to the cross and die for our sins. And if you're willing to humble yourself and acknowledge your sin and trust completely in Christ, He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll save you. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And for each and every one of us who knows Christ, is there any area we're stepping out before God where He's thwarting it, where He's not allowing it to work out, that He's not allowing these things to happen? Trust the Lord. Is there any area where we are stepping out in our own abilities, strength, or wisdom, rather than trusting in Jesus Christ?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Greg, I'm fascinated how God waited 25 years to fulfill His promise to Abraham, so that the fulfillment had to be miraculous. You know, whenever Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands, there was disaster.
That is so true, and we've seen it throughout Scripture. And as you know, as we go through our daily Christian lives, we can find ourselves trying to resolve our situations and problems the same way that they did. But let us step back and remember Abraham and Sarah. And so with that in mind, we need to confess our inadequacy, rely completely on the living God, and wait on Him that He might be glorified. You see, our responsibility is to trust the Lord God, to believe His promises, to rely on His faithfulness and power to accomplish what He wills despite our own inabilities. And believe me, when you start experiencing these things in your life, God accomplishing the impossible through your inadequacy, you will experience unspeakable joy, and God will get great glory as you walk with Him.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.